Hey there, thanks for coming. Take a seat.
Time to retire to the drawing room.
So it's the big night. Your favourite musician is in town. You've forked out $200 for a back row ticket. You've been hanging out for this all year, people. And finally, you're there. The lights come on. The artist appears. The music starts. And then the guy next to you starts singing along to every song, word for word, all night, really loudly. What do you do? What are the rules around concert etiquette these days? Does anything go? And how do the rules differ from a rock gig to an evening of classical music, for instance? Well, Ben Northey, I'm sure, will have the good oil on the classical front. He's associate conductor of the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra, and Jacinta Parsons learnt her first words at a rock gig, I think. She's part of the music team at Double J. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So what's the go, Jacinta? Is singing acceptable at rock gigs?
Oh, we're going to have to divide things up. I went
Let's get into categories.
Tay-Tay.
And
for
did
those
you go?
Uninitiated, that's Taylor Swift. I don't look at you, Ben, because I think you're uninitiated, by the way.
Oh, no, I'm aware of Taylor Swift.
I think you have to sing along when you're at Tay-Tay, because if you don't, you're like obviously not a fan. I had to make up words and just sing along.
Well,
and
you were faking it.
Had to fake it. But if you go to a Ryan Adams, as I did recently as well, and there was this humongous man standing beside me who knew every single word and his voice was very loud, I think you have to pull back a little bit and not sing louder than Ryan Adams.
But then how do you even manage that when you're sitting next to somebody doing it? What's the etiquette to that?
Give him the death stare, Julie Bishop style?
No, I went Zen and the art of man who's standing beside me singing really loudly, and I thought that I would just go with it. And so instead of seeing Ryan Adams, I saw the Dude Show beside me. And I thought, you know what? He actually was pretty good. He did a pretty good show. I probably should have handed him $10 at the end.
I reckon I might have intervened.
How do you intervene?
I liken this to going to a movie. If you go to a movie, there are certain unspoken rules that people don't necessarily talk, have a loud conversation as if they're in their living room.
But people do sometimes.
Well, that's right. But then it's a matter of, well, how do we then handle that situation? Do we call security immediately, have them removed? Do we get in a fight? I've seen fights at concerts before, which is quite entertaining.
Tell me about the fights. What do you mean? What kind of concerts?
Well, classical concerts as well.
What happens?
Well, look, Carnegie Hall in New York, the top deck of Carnegie Hall is a long way away from the action. And it's pretty wild up there, to be honest.
In what way?
Oh, well, it's just very, what would I say, a different kind of clientele in the cheap seats up at Carnegie Hall, including myself.
I'm hearing.
I remember two guys getting into an argument because the person in front of him was leaning forward and he couldn't see because it's really steep to look down. And they basically came to blows and started pushing each other around, and an usher had to go and grab security and they had to be taken out. I thought, this is very AFL or something.
So is it true, Ben, that if Italian opera goers aren't impressed with the performance, they'll start humming along out of tune? Is that true?
That they bring fruit and vegetables to the operas just in case they're going to need them at the end. You know,
to this day?
Oh, yeah.
This sounds like a thing that happened.
No.
In the olden days.
This is Italy, and not only will they boo, sometimes they won't clap at all. There'll be absolute stony silence.
So they don't participate in the niceties,
if somebody is deserving, they will absolutely
that's
be
That's really interesting.
Effusive,
I don't think I'm an overly polite person, but I will clap out of respect that you've had a go. Maybe a little bit of a soft clap, not, you know, profuse.
Even a fake clap can work as well, where you don't actually touch.
Someone stood up and had a go.
I love the idea of these Italian crowds saying, did you pack the water? Have you got your jacket? And did you put the bananas in the bag?
Absolutely.
Have
you got the tomatoes?
Because you have to pack them just in case.
No, you don't even know how you're going to feel.
It's
terrifying. That's it. And look, I guess there's an expectation of them that they have to behave that way now. Everybody's expecting it. And Patricia, in the olden days, classical operas were a completely different thing. They were much more like a rock concert. And it was up to the musicians to try and get their attention.
The pressure, though, to be in the audience where you're not allowed to sort of do anything too outlandish. I remember going to an opera, as I've done once in my life, and there was a guy who was the understudy, and he was wearing a helmet that wasn't obviously for him. So every time he hit a high note, the helmet started moving down his face. But because I was in an environment where I couldn't talk about it, I started laughing so hard. And because I couldn't let the laughter out, I started shaking much.
Yeah. I mean, some of the funny things I've heard, being in the audience particularly, because on stage often you don't hear what's going on. But in Adelaide once during a symphony performance, an alarm went off on a phone, and phones are the ultimate evil in concert.
You all
going
hate
off
them,
all
don't
the
you?
Time.
You get so upset.
this conversation was, alarm went off. The lady, who I was presuming was this gentleman's wife, said, I told you to turn your phone off. And then he said loudly, I turned it on to silent. And then she said, the alarm still works if it's on silent. And then he said, oh, the chooks. And that was the conversation. And it didn't really matter what was going on stage at that point. Everyone within about 150-person radius was just laughing their heads off.
Jacinta, what's the rudest thing you've seen at a rock concert?
Oh, gosh. There's a lot of low-lying rudenesses that happen. I think I find it really hard when there's really tall people.
I was going to go to the tall people. As a short person, that was actually one of my chief agenda items.
As
keep
a
going.
Five-footer, I think when you buy a ticket, this is my solution. You put in your height.
Yes.
And you're allocated. Even if you're in a gig room, they delineate space depending on how tall you are.
You and I have got the same business idea.
But you've got so much faith in people, to be honest, about their height.
No, because the
other... It'd be
other,
just rorted, wouldn't
the
it?
The other... Know? Oh, yeah, that's true. The other perspective is, if you're tall, if you've got there early... People feel like, I've earned my space. I'm not moving out.
Oh, there's a real sense of entitlement, isn't there?
Isn't there?
I don't know. You tell me, because you're taller than us. Shouldn't there be some etiquette where you sink a little into the chair? I'm sinking to demonstrate the way you would sink.
You know
but
what?
It's that sitting up straight.
It's
like,
terrible.
I can't see.
Or wearing a hat. You know, why add to the height?
Last time I went to a musical, there was the tallest man in Australia in front of me. And I actually had a neck pain for a good 10 days after because I watched the show at this angle, which was not healthy for me.
No.
And I thought after that, I'm never going out again.
That is just not okay. Is it discrimination at its absolute finest,
clearly,
isn't it?
And I did give him those passive-aggressive sounds, you know, those ones.
It's also those people who stand in front of you who might even be taller who start backing in. The backerinners who don't realise that you have a body buffer zone. There is a little invisible space around everybody that you aren't allowed to infiltrate, no matter how busy the gig is. And if you start walking back... With a hat on.
Let me put this to you. I've had another children being taken to concert. So I took my six-year-old to a musical, to Wicked, actually, and she had a few questions. This man, this very angry man, turned around and said, you've got to shut up your child.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, right?
Not okay.
Now, I got where he was coming from. Like, you do want to hear a show, and I was clearly working on shutting her up, as he put it, but... What do you do? Ban kids?
A similar thing happened in the UK recently where a famous violinist was making her big comeback after some years away. There was a young child, restless, maybe being a bit noisy, and she just simply stopped playing Royal Festival Hall in London and asked them to leave from the stage. So it's very different when it comes from the stage.
No, that's not the angry man. That's from the stage. And I would die.
So who are your sympathies with in that situation?
What happened? Was there any tomatoes thrown?
No tomatoes thrown. But my sympathies actually in that situation with the family.
Totally.
And that was,
so mine,
that was
but
the overall reaction.
Is that
from
because
people.
We have children, though? Like, I think you understand because you've got kids that are annoying. No?
I just feel that we sometimes as performers get way too precious about this. We are in a very competitive environment in the arts industry, in the entertainment industry, that we are competing for audiences. We want people to come and have an experience with us. Part of that experience is the audience. They contribute to the whole thing.
If your daughter was being crazily
she
overly...
Wasn't.
She wasn't.
No,
and
she
I think
was.
This is... Going to shows, going to gigs is a microcosm of how we behave, you know, socially. So, you know, it's that intersection between private and public and how we are tolerant or intolerant or how we have expectations around our behaviour that is, I think, sometimes unfair. We're not accounting for the fact that we do have six-year-olds in our community that do not have the same level of behaviour as others. So I think it is interesting that we have all these gig and etiquette rules, but maybe one of the rules, the top one, should be tolerance. When we go in and we have such a difficult time being in a group of people and things not going exactly the way we like it, it kind of is reflective of how we sometimes don't, you know, accept the complexity of living in a community.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, there have to be certain things that are outlined. I mean, in the classical concerts, we always have an announcement saying, please turn your mobile phone off, for
example. Or check your chooks before you come to the concert.
Make sure your chooks are fed before you leave. So those things, I think, help people remember. And they don't want to be the person whose phone goes off in the middle of the concert.
Oh, no, you don't want to be that person.
I mean, that is the worst thing. I've seen people just pretend it's not theirs.
Yeah,
and it just keeps on ringing.
That level of public humiliation.
We all focus on the bad things that happen. What about all the great things that audiences give you? Like, as a performer, the energy, you know, the applause, which we all love. You know, we've got this crazy thing in orchestral concerts about don't clap in between. between the movements of the symphony. You know,
that drives
nobody
me nuts.
Knows.
No one knows.
You know, but back in the times of a lot of this music was written in the 18th and 19th centuries, they were clapping, they were yelling out encore. It was just a very different.
So how do you reintroduce that culture?
Well, I think you have to say it verbally at the start of a concert. You have to invite people. Like if I do a regional tour with the orchestra or something and we're in different kinds of venues and smaller theatres and people who don't go to concerts all the time, I say, ladies and gentlemen, just a few ground rules. We love applause. Clap whenever you want to.
Go crazy.
You know, maybe don't sing along, you know, if you know the melodies, but do clap because we love applause.
And going back to Tay-Tay, as everything should always be in full circle and end and begin in Tay-Tay, I think what I enjoyed really hugely about that was actually being in that enormous crowd of people. It's like sometimes why I enjoy going to the footy. It's just being part of that wonderful energy of people who, regardless of what the music is, that there's that much joy and excitement about it.
That's what makes live music special, is that it's shared. And so you're part of a collective experience rather than just popping on the CD at home and listening to it. You're all feeling the same thing at the same time.
Absolutely true. And it's unpredictable.
Yeah, totally.
You want it to be unpredictable. Look, I've had such a good time.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ben. And thank you, Jacinta.
Thank you.